Welcome everyone to Almost Paradise in North Idaho, and I am your guide, Ted Ludlum. We come to you from the wilds of North Idaho, near the little town of Bonner's Ferry, about 30 miles from the Canadian border. We're nestled between a couple of mountain ranges in the valley along the Kootenai River. And if you just stumbled across this little podcast and you're wondering what this is all about, stick around and find out. But first, this episode is brought to you by Gravy. And yes, that's going to tell you a lot about what this podcast is about. Thanksgiving was last week, but I can't help but remember that wonderful Thanksgiving dinner that I enjoyed. But you know, folks, every year we all pretend that we're all excited about the turkey. Oh, look at that golden brown bird. Yeah, that's nice. But let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. Just between friends, we all know why we really show up to Thanksgiving dinner. It's the mashed potatoes and the gravy. That's the dynamic duo. The Batman and Robin of the holiday table. The Lewis and Clark of comfort food. If Thanksgiving was a movie, mashed potatoes would be the star and gravy would steal the scene. Now, I love Thanksgiving. I love the stuffing, the dinner rolls, the pies, even Uncle Larry's attempt at experimental green bean casserole. But here's the truth. Gravy is the peacekeeper of Thanksgiving. Overcooked turkey? Just put a little gravy on it. Dry stuffing? Gravy fixes it. Lumpy potatoes? Gravy covers all sins. Burnt rolls? Dip it in gravy. Awkward political argument at the table? Well, gravy may not fix that, but it'll help you get through it. And let's get one thing straight. For me, no cranberries. Nope, not happening. Those things are like little jiggly red marbles pretending to be food. Up here in North Idaho, I don't know, there's a lot of us, we just don't trust anything shaped like a can after it leaves the can. But gravy? Ah, man, gravy has your back. Gravy doesn't judge you. Gravy knows you worked hard. Gravy forgives your cooking sins. Gravy whispers, "It's okay, I got you." So at your next big dinner, pile up that mountain of mashed potatoes like you're building the world's shortest ski hill and let the gravy avalanche flow. Like a moat. Or make a lake. Or build a gravy reservoir large enough to irrigate the whole county if needed. Because in the end, turkey or ham or roast beef or duck or goose or even Spam may be the tradition, but mashed potatoes and gravy, that's the joy. And you deserve joy. Lots of it. I know I do. But no cranberries, please. Now, some of you who have been listening for a long time, and I've been around here for about a year and a half, you may notice, I hope you notice, that it might sound a little better. My podcast might sound a little better. My podcast is growing. Whether that's good or bad is to be determined probably at a future date. And we have invested in some new microphones, better microphones, and a mixer, which I did not have before. And so I'm hoping this will be something that you will find easier to listen to and more enjoyable. And as the podcast grows and develops, I guess I've grown and developed. And when I started this podcast a year and a half ago, I wasn't sure where I wanted to go with it and what I wanted to do with it. I just kind of wanted to have fun. I wanted to entertain. I wanted to inform. But I've kind of got a nudging. And I've often thought, when I sit in church and the pastor talks for over an hour sometimes, and at the end of the sermon, I'm sitting there going, What's the point? What was he trying to say? What? And that was always kind of concerning to me. So I want things to be relatable to our life. And I want us to think about things and apply it to ourselves. And so when I do this podcast, yes, I like to bring in an element of faith, an element of, you know, what does God want us to maybe get out of this podcast or our life every day? And so I don't want to be a Bible thumper, and I don't want to quote endless verses of scripture, but once in a while, I think it's appropriate to say and to take a moment and reflect and go, okay, what's the point here? I used to be a teacher, and that's one of the things I always wanted to do at the end of the day. I wanted my students to understand why the Battle of Gettysburg relates to them today, or whatever the lesson was that day. How does it relate to them? And so that's my goal. And so actually, I like to picture it as a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other, to a certain extent. And, you know, there's a connection between what's going on in the world, what's going on in the country, what's going on in our town, and the Bible, Scripture. You know, what is Jesus doing in our lives that we should appreciate, be aware of, and reflect on? So that's basically what this podcast is about as I've grown and matured and developed. And I hope you hang in there with me, because like I said, I'm not going to be banging the Bible at you, but once in a while, I'm going to throw out some thoughts for us to consider. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, which I know some of you care about and some of you don't, is a little bit about sports. And I do not do sports scores, and I don't talk about those kind of specific things. I'd like to look at issues a little deeper than that. And up here in North Idaho and in the Pacific Northwest, we have a basketball team that a lot of people are really passionate about, and it's the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They don't have a football team, but they have a good basketball team, and they're located in Spokane, about 2 hours south of here. And so there's a lot of Spokane fans around here, or not Spokane fans, but Gonzaga fans. So before we get started, let me just say, basketball in November and December used to be simple, and I'm a simple guy. You'd gather around the TV, the teams would play a couple of games in some gym that smelled like old popcorn, and nobody walked away with more money than the Boundary County Sawmill makes in a week. Those were the days. But now we had this thing last week called the Players Era Tournament down in Las Vegas, where college kids are making more than I do running this podcast. Of course, that's not saying a lot, but still, if these payoffs and payouts keep climbing, I might have to put myself in the transfer portal. Maybe somebody will pay me $1 million to talk for 45 minutes and mispronounce players' names. I could do that. Gonzaga could maybe use an old guy at the end of the bench to keep the towels folded. I'm available if the coach wants to call me. And you know my luck. They'd give me NIL money. NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And somehow I'd still end up getting paid in Starbucks gift cards. Meanwhile, these kids stroll into Las Vegas and leave with more cash than I've spent on snow shovels in the last 5 winters. All right, enough of my financial trauma. Let's break this tournament down, because it gained a lot of headlines for various reasons. It's one of those newfangled big money college basketball events that was staged in, of course, Las Vegas, where the slot machines spin and the lights never go out, and apparently even college basketball games come with prize money now. Instead of a traditional bracket where you win and advance or lose and go home, the Players Era Tournament used a 2-game guarantee format for the first couple days. Every team played, no matter what. Then, after everybody had their 2 games in, the powers that be sorted out who'd play in the championship game, who would play in the third place game, and so on. And this was all based on 2 things. What was your record in the first 2 games, and what was your point differential? That was interesting. So you might win 2 games, but maybe you only won them by 10, and the other team won them by 40. Well, there you go. That team would move on, and you would not. And that's how we ended up with a championship pairing Gonzaga versus Michigan. Now, I'm a simple guy. I like simple things. If you win, you move on. If you lose, you take your lumps and you grab some pizza and you get ready for the next game. This whole point differential thing, let's just say it feels like it was invented by a committee that couldn't agree on what was going on. And so they came up with this. But hey, it got our Gonzaga team into the title game. So not too many complaints around here. Gonzaga did what Gonzaga does in these early season tournaments. They showed up, handled business, and reminded everybody why Spokane isn't just that place by Coeur d'Alene. They went 2-0 in those first two games. And thanks in part to the point differential rule, they made it to the championship game. They didn't necessarily run it up, but because they played clean, disciplined basketball, they won by a good margin. Then they played against Michigan. Well, Michigan beat them 86-61, and that one stung a little bit. That's the kind of score that afterward you sit in the locker room thinking about life's choices. Was this game worth it? But one game doesn't define a season. And it did serve a little reality after two games of feeling pretty good. There's still work to be done in practice. All right, but let's get into the part that makes me concerned. The tournament wasn't just about basketball. It was also about NIL money. Again, this is short for name, image, and likeness. That's the system that now lets college athletes earn money for being, well, themselves. NIL is not the school paying them to play basketball. That's still off limits. Instead, schools have NIL collectives, basically booster-run organizations who can pay players for endorsements, appearances, social media posts, and so on. Here's what's wild. Every team that played in the Players Era tournament received over $1 million in NIL funds, guaranteed, just for showing up. And then the performance bonuses kicked in. If you won the championship, you would get an additional $1 million. If you were the runner-up, which was in this case Gonzaga, they got an additional $500,000. The third place winner got an additional $300,000, and the third place loser ended up with an additional $200,000. So Gonzaga left Vegas with an estimated $1.5 million funneled into its NIL collective fund. Now, do the players get all of that? No, not directly, and probably not even evenly. And here's why. NIL collectives, not the coaches, not the tournament, they decide how to distribute the money. There's no law or rule that says the tournament has to tell us anything. They don't have to tell us how much money each player got, or which players got the most, or how the pie was divided. They don't have to, so they don't. Some collectives split the NIL money evenly across the whole roster. Some give more to starters or star players. Some attach it to appearances or promotions, and some tie it to community events or charity work. It varies school by school, collective by collective. So yes, Gonzaga players almost certainly got something out of that trip. But I don't know how much. Your guess is as good as mine. And I'll tell you right now, it's definitely more than I'm getting for doing this podcast. Unless somebody wants to start a Boundary County NIL collective and hook me up with a sandwich card at the local sandwich shop. I'd settle for that. Now, here's where my old-fashioned side starts grumbling, kind of like a chainsaw on a cold morning. A little NIL money. Okay, I'm fine with that. Kids today have more bills than we ever did when we went to college. They got phones, they got travel, they got gear, they got all that stuff. And if you're the face of a giant program, you deserve a piece of the pie. But millions of dollars tied to a November tournament? I gotta admit, I don't love that. Call me old school, But when you start dangling giant checks in front of 18 to 22-year-olds, I start wondering, are we building character or are we creating chaos? Are we developing players or are we distorting priorities? There's a fine line between opportunity and an avalanche. Money is wonderful until it isn't. And sometimes the more you give people too early, the more trouble you invite. Not always, but sometimes. I'm not judging the players. They're doing what the system allows. I'm just not convinced this system is good for them in the long run or for the sport. When November tournaments start looking like a Wall Street bonus meeting, I start missing the old Maui Invitational where the biggest bonus was getting a free trip to Hawaii and hopefully not sunburning yourself on the beach. Despite all the noise, the flash, the Las Vegas glitter, the NIL millions, and the goofy format, you know what stuck out to me? Gonzaga still played with heart. They still played basketball. They passed the ball well. They hustled. They played together. And they represented the Inland Northwest with class. You can throw all the money in the world at college basketball, but you can't buy what Gonzaga has apparently built over the years. Toughness, teamwork, culture, consistency, and pride in where they come from. Michigan may have gotten them in the title game, and yes, 86-61 is a wake-up call, but it's better to get humbled in November than crushed in March. This Gonzaga team is going to be just fine. And as for the Players Era tournament, well, it was flashy and it was loud. It was a little confusing and it was way too rich for my blood. But it gave us basketball to talk about, didn't it? Here I am talking about it. And as long as the Zags keep showing up, I guess us basketball fans will too. One thing about Gonzaga, they are not afraid of playing good teams early. This coming Friday, which is actually tomorrow as I record this, Gonzaga plays at Kentucky. That should be fun. And then a week later, they host UCLA. So, yes, I'll probably keep watching. And that's Gonzaga, Las Vegas, NIL, and the changing face of college basketball. But if you really want to see how money can flip a sport upside down, look no further than college football. And we will talk about that later in this podcast. Now a word about someone we need in our lives but don't really want in our lives. I just went to see my dentist a few days ago. And while everything went well, I was a bit worried about going in. Have you ever noticed how we humans can cut down trees and plow snow in a blizzard and maybe wrangle a stubborn horse without fear, but a little dentist chair? Suddenly we turn into shaking chihuahuas. We're brave until someone says, open wide. And yet, dentists are basically tiny heroes with power tools. They poke around your mouth, they find the sandwich that you ate 3 months ago, and somehow keep smiling like it's totally normal. They tap your teeth, they rinse you off like a 1967 Chevy at a car wash, and they send you home feeling like you just upgraded to a brand new grill on your pickup truck. So next time you're dreading that cleaning, remember this. You're not facing danger. You're facing mint-flavored justice. Your dentist doesn't want to hurt you. They just want to make sure you can bite into that steak and eat that corn on the cob and that caramel apple without signing a medical waiver. Visit your local dentist today. Make an appointment. See how your teeth are doing, because a healthy smile beats a toothless grin, unless you're a jack-o'-lantern. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about our little piece of heaven up here, our little farmette, where we live, because the last week was kind of complicated. Sometimes you think you've got things all timed out just right to get stuff done, and then things happen. Earlier, I think I mentioned in a previous podcast, it snowed all day Thanksgiving. Well, it didn't just snow. The temperatures dropped after a week of rain, and they dropped hard. And my horse's paddock was a swamp. Then it froze, and it became a frozen area of craters the size of his hoof prints with very sharp edges. Not healthy at all. He was not happy, and neither were we. Now, our other horse, his name is Luke, and his paddock is right next to his, but it's a little higher, and so the water drained into rivers, and River is bigger. He's a part draft horse, and so he makes bigger footprints and deeper footprints. So it was on my to-do list to flatten his paddock with this little stomper thing that I've got. The idea was to flatten it out, keep him out of it for a while, flatten it out, and then when it froze, it would be like a nice, soft, I don't know, parking lot that he could walk on real easy. And so I had that all in my mind. I had it all planned out. And then something happened that I did not anticipate. I have an ATV, and the ATV was not ready for winter. I had to put a plow on it, and I had to put chains on it. And I knew all about this, and I had it all planned out. I was going to do this the day before the temperature drops, and I was just going to slap the chains on and slap the plow on, and then I was going to go over and take care of River's paddock. And, well, I started the ATV, and it wouldn't start. Turned out the battery was dead. Oh, that's nice. So taking the battery out of my ATV is kind of tricky. You have to twist your tongue just right to get it out. And it's a tight fit. But I got it out. No problem. Finally. I mean, it really wasn't hard. I've done it enough that I know how to do it. And then I take it down to the local auto shop to get my battery. And they give me this battery. And I said, this battery is a little too tall. It's not going to fit. And they said, oh, no, it's only a half inch higher. I said, because it's a half inch higher, it's not going to fit. And they go, oh, yeah, it'll fit just fine. I didn't think it would. So I brought it home, and I got down on my knees and got down on my behind, and I sat on the ground, and I started to put the battery into a special little spot. Guess what? It didn't fit. I knew it wouldn't fit. So I hop in my truck and I drive down to the car parts store and I said, it doesn't fit. And they go, oh, we thought it would. No kidding. So they give me a different one. They're looking it up on the computer and they give me another one. And they go, this one will fit. Well, it is shorter, but it's a little longer. And it's got to fit in this bracket. And I look at it and I go, it's not going to fit. And they go, oh, yeah, it'll fit. No, it's not. Oh, yeah. Try it. So I take it. Guess what? It didn't fit. It wouldn't go in right. And because it wouldn't go in right, it was kind of slanted and tilted because it couldn't fit in the bracket just right. I couldn't get the wires hooked up. So I go back to the auto parts store. And I say, hi. And they know me now. And they go, it didn't fit, did it? I go, no, it did not. So now they have to order it. And this is on Wednesday, by the way. This is on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And so I'm going back and forth and back and forth. And now they got to order it. And they said they're going to have the new battery that will fit, they guarantee, on Friday. So in the meantime, I got busy and doing some other things, and I forgot about River's paddock. And of course, what happened that night? It froze. It froze hard. And the water froze. And the mud froze. And that's when we ended up with the craters that would make the moon jealous. And River couldn't walk in there. It was like, this hurts. I could see it in his eyes. I could see it in his walk, and I could feel it. It hurt. You know, they got hard hooves, but inside those hooves, they call what they call frogs. They have what they call frogs. Frogs. I don't know why they call them frogs, but it's kind of soft, and it was not feeling good. So we had to make some adjustments and some changes, and so now we've got him in a different spot, more comfortable, and I was out with the tractor trying to level it off, and it's just frozen like a rock, and it's not going to happen. So I thought I had it all timed out just fine, but we never know what tomorrow will bring, do we? Kind of like a dead battery leading to a chain of events, leading to extra work, and River having sore feet. The bottom line, I put things off, and I left myself a narrow margin for error, and Mother Nature threw me a curve. I put things off until tomorrow, and the Lord often reminds us that tomorrow is uncertain, and it is not promised to anyone. So live in the present. Don't put off what you can do today. Don't put it off. So, a lesson I have experienced many times, but apparently I have never really learned very well. And now a little thought about our furnace. Yes, I do generic commercials. So, it's time for your furnace to get a good checkup. Now that winter is really here and the winds are blowing like they mean it, you don't want to wake up freezing in January because your furnace bit the big one. 2 weeks ago, we turned ours on to test it, and the blower made a horrible sound. I decided to wait a few days and see if it would fix itself. And it didn't. Are you sensing a pattern with me? Probably. Anyway, we finally called our trusty repairman. His name happens to be Frank. He came out and he discovered a piece of tape that had come loose on the back side of the furnace where the blower vent meets the furnace. And that had come loose and it was whistling when the blower came on and blew air. I would have never figured that out. I guess it decided to whistle while it worked. Anyway, he replaced the tape and now it is fine. And he didn't even charge us. What a nice guy. So don't wait for something to go wrong. And don't be the victim of a phantom noise. Stay warm this winter and safe. Have your furnace checked. You never know. There might be an issue. You might wake up cold. Or if there's a gas leak, you might wake up really cold, if you get my point. So let's avoid that. Now, back to sports. Kind of. This podcast, yes, is sports heavy. I understand that. If you don't like sports, I understand that. You can always fast forward past the sports stuff. That's one of the beauties of a podcast. With a radio show, you can't really do that. But with a podcast, you can. And so if you like sports, this podcast is for you. And if you don't like sports, you can kind of fast forward past it, whatever you want to do. But seemingly in reaction to the basketball tournament involving Gonzaga that I just talked about earlier, college football said, hey, we can do you one better. Hold my Gatorade. Let me show you how this really works. The news hit this week like a rogue snowplow on Highway 95. Lane Kiffin, the old Mississippi University head football coach, he ditched his 11-1 playoff-bound team to take the LSU, also known as Louisiana State University, job just days after his team finally punched a ticket to the college football playoff. And he turns around and he says, hey boys, you're on your own. I'm going to Baton Rouge, signing some papers. Now, I'm not saying he left in the middle of the night with the porch light on, but if he had, Ole Miss fans probably wouldn't have been too surprised. This has all the ingredients of modern college sports. A blue blood program with deep pockets, that's LSU, a coach with a reputation for mobile job history, and a system where money moves faster than the truth on election night. And Ole Miss, bless them, had to promote their defensive coordinator to head coach just to keep the ship steady for the playoffs. And players are publicly disputing Kiffin's version of events, like they're fact-checking a politician. Folks, something is changing in college sports, and it's not subtle, and I don't like it. I remember when college sports was all about loyalty and tradition and that sense of playing for something bigger. You'd pick a school, you'd stay there, you'd fight for your teammates. And the biggest business decision you made was whether your bowl sweatshirt should be large or extra large. Now, coaches are signing $60 to $80 million contracts with buyout clauses thicker than a winter coat at Three Mile Cafe. Players are jumping through the transfer portal like it's a revolving door at Walmart on Black Friday. Boosters are forming NIL collectives. Yes, there's that word or that term, NIL, with the kind of energy that it would take Walmart street analysts busy all day. The whole thing feels less like a school tradition and more like the NFL. Except in the NFL, at least everybody has a salary and contracts and obligations. In college sports, the coach gets the yacht while the players get the thanks for your sacrifice handshake. Unless they're lucky enough to land a sweet NIL deal, promoting a local chicken joint, or getting a new car at the dealership. And here's the wild part. The Lane Kiffin situation is not an outlier anymore. It's a blueprint. It's the new business model. You and I know this. From Las Vegas tournaments to SEC power moves, it all comes down to money. Not talent, not tradition, not loyalty, money. Up here in the Northwest, we know this very well. A couple of years ago, all of the teams in what used to be called the Pac-12 conference, they bolted for the Big Ten and left up here in this area, and left the other teams in that conference kind of holding the bag and scrambling to see what was going on. And we still got a couple of teams that are still suffering from that. Washington State, Oregon State, they kind of got left out in the cold because of this. And it was all about money. LSU saw a chance to snag a big-name coach after firing their old coach, Brian Kelly, and they backed up the Brinks truck. No hesitation. And Ole Miss saw a coach who felt he'd peaked there, and maybe he was right. Maybe he was wrong. But after weeks of secret negotiations, quiet phone calls, back channel conversations, LSU dropped an offer that he could not refuse, or at least would not refuse. And poof, he was gone. Even with a playoff run on the table where he could have potentially won the national championship this year. Even with the biggest moment in Ole Miss football history happening right this second. If that doesn't show you who's really calling the plays these days, nothing will. Meanwhile, you and I, the fans, are sitting on the sidelines just trying to keep up. You're halfway through a Thanksgiving leftover sandwich when an ESPN breaks in with Lane Kiffin is leaving for LSU. And you think, wait a minute, isn't Ole Miss in the playoffs? Yep, but that doesn't matter. Money doesn't check the playoff schedule before making decisions. Fans are loyal. Players, at least most of them, are loyal. But coaches, schools, television networks, they're loyal to the bottom line. Now, up here in North Idaho, we tend to value things like loyalty, honesty, hard work, and staying put, even when the wind is howling and the thermometer is stuck on sub-zero. So watching a coach jump ship because the playoffs feels, well, it feels off now. Just like the NIL mess in basketball felt off. Like the Las Vegas tournament felt off. We're watching a shift in real time. College sports is turning into big business. It's not a mom-and-pop store anymore. It's more like a corporate franchise with glowing neon lights and a big old Live Entertainment Tonight banner out front. So, what do we do? Or at least, what do I do? Well, I'm sorry. I got to keep cheering. I got to keep loving the game. I keep enjoying those rivalry moments and the buzzer beaters and the fourth quarter comebacks. But we all still are aware that this isn't the same world we grew up watching. The fire has gotten hotter. And like any fire, it can warm your hands or burn down the barn if you're not careful. College sports, it may not be collapsing, but it's definitely changing. And it's changing fast. And money is writing the script. Basketball, football, all of it. And the Lane Kiffin saga is just the latest chapter. It's a reminder that loyalty has a price tag these days, and some schools are more than willing to pay it. A final thought on college sports, at least a final thought for today. You know, after watching all this money swirl around college sports these days, I find myself thinking back to something a man wiser than me said. Money's a good steward, but a lousy master. Think about that. And it's true. Whether you're an 18-year-old basketball star in Las Vegas or a guy up here in North Idaho preparing for the next winter storm, the danger's the same. Letting the dollars tell you who you are. At the end of the day, character still counts more than cash. Teamwork still matters more than trophies. And how we treat people lasts a whole lot longer than anything that shows up in a bank account. I'm reminded of Proverbs 16:8, which says, "Better a little with righteousness than great revenues without justice." That's a good compass for all of us. And I'll repeat it. Better a little with righteousness than great revenues without justice. Athletes, fans, and the rest of us, we're just trying to make it through another North Idaho winter. So as the season goes on, here's hoping the young men playing this game keep their feet on the ground and their hearts in the right place and their priorities straight. And maybe the rest of us can do the same. And by the way, if anyone wants to test that old money doesn't buy happiness theory, feel free to send a little my way and I'll get back with you on the results. Strictly for research purposes, of course. As I just talked about earlier, and you already know, Winter just sent us a polite little reminder that he has found us and he plans to stay a while. You know what I mean when that kind of cold that makes your truck groan when it starts in the morning or your boots squeak? And your nose begins to wonder what life choices led you here. But fear not. Whether you cut down your own firewood like a rugged North Idaho mountain legend or you buy it because chainsaws scare you and you like all 10 fingers exactly where they are, there's nothing, nothing like the first whoosh of warm air off a wood stove. Firewood. You ought to go get some. It crackles, it pops, it smells better than your cousin's cologne, and best of all, it doesn't complain when you toss another log on. So stock up now, split it, stack it, burn it, and then brag about it. Because when January hits and it's colder than a Moose Creek trout, you'll be glad you've got a big pile of North Idaho gold right outside your door. Firewood, get it now, in case your furnace goes on the blink. Or prepare to cuddle with your refrigerator. That wouldn't be very good. And now I got a little Terry story. Terry is a friend of mine. I guess he's a friend of mine. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. I haven't talked to him about him too much lately. Every once in a while he pops up. Well, the last couple of weeks he was actually in Wisconsin, not in Idaho, visiting family back there. He is from Wisconsin. And he goes back there every once in a while to check things out. He went there for Thanksgiving, and he went there on a deer hunting expedition with his family. He went with his son and some friends, and they had a good time. And now this is a Terry story because this is a classic, typical Terry story. They went hunting for deer. Of course, deer are thick in Wisconsin. They're everywhere. Well, he didn't get one. I don't know if his gun didn't fire or if he just missed, but he didn't get one. He didn't get one in the traditional way. A couple days later, after the hunt, he was driving his daughter-in-law's car, and he got a deer. He hit it, and it just bounced off his car and ended up in a ditch and messed up. I guess it didn't hurt the car too bad. But that's classic Terry. That's what he does. And we just love Terry. And he's actually, he came back to Idaho yesterday. His plane landed, I think. He actually hasn't called me, so I'm kind of wondering. I assume everything's okay. I haven't checked the headlines for any airplane crashes or anything. So I'm sure he's back, and he'll be probably calling me later today, wanting to go get a cup of coffee or something. Although, and that's another story, he doesn't drink coffee. He drinks hot water. We're not going to go into that. HIPAA would not allow me to discuss that situation. So there's today's Terry story. He couldn't get a deer with his gun, so he used his daughter-in-law's car and got a deer. I don't think he ate it, but I hear deer don't taste very good when you hit them with a car. Something about bruising and blood. And I don't know. I'm not into that. So there's that. But I have another little commercial today, right now, and it's about oatmeal. You know, folks, when winter rolls into North Idaho, it doesn't just knock on the door. It barges in like your neighbor's runaway cow, tracking snow across the kitchen and refusing to leave. And on those mornings, when your truck sounds like it's reconsidering its life choices and your horse is giving you that side eye about going outside and your coffee mug is shivering, you need something hearty. You need oatmeal. Yep, plain old oatmeal. The breakfast of mountain men and homesteaders and anyone who's ever said, I'll shovel the driveway right after I thaw out. Oatmeal is warm, it's dependable, and it won't judge you for wearing three layers inside the house. That kind of sounds like, well, never mind. You can fancy it up if you want. You can toss in some berries, a little cinnamon, maybe a scoop of brown sugar, big enough to make your doctor nervous. That's what I do, by the way. But even if you've got just oats and hot water, boom, that's still a better breakfast than half of Seattle is paying $14 for. And the best part, oatmeal sticks with you while you're feeding the animals, stacking firewood, or trying not to slip on your own driveway. Oatmeal is in your belly saying, relax, I've got this. So tomorrow morning, when it's 9 degrees and the wind is auditioning for a horror movie, grab a bowl of good old-fashioned oatmeal. Because up here in North Idaho, that's not just breakfast. That's survival fuel. You know, I got a friend. He's on my podcast every once in a while. In fact, he's on my last one. His name is Mark. And he's been kind of on a personal crusade concerning the truck drivers and the illegal immigrant truck drivers that come through Idaho and drive all over the United States. And there's been some tragic stories in connection with that. Illegal truck drivers who can't read, don't really have what it takes to get their driver's license, but they do. And some of them are good, but I mean, I'm not going to lump them all in, but there's some bad ones out there. And an unfortunately tragic story, an illegal immigrant truck driver has been charged with killing a newlywed couple in a terrible crash in Oregon. The truck driver had been granted a commercial driver's license in Governor Gavin Newsom's California, according to federal agencies. The Indian national was arrested after he jackknifed his semi-truck and collided with a vehicle in Bend, Oregon on November 24th, killing William Carter and his new wife, Jennifer. The truck driver was in the United States illegally, having been released into the country by the Biden administration. The Department of Homeland Security revealed Monday all this information as it announced that an immigration detainer has been lodged. So, guys, be careful. Whether you're here in Idaho driving on Highway 95 or anywhere in the United States, There's just a lot of uncertainty going on out there. And in a related story, and this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's serious, okay? Every now and then, an Idaho business pops up in the news and reminds the rest of America what we already know. We do things a little differently here in Idaho, sometimes a lot differently. Take the Old State Saloon in Eagle, Idaho, a place that apparently wakes up every morning, pours itself a cup of Black Rifle coffee, and asks, how can we poke the internet today? This is the saloon that once declared June to be Heterosexual Awareness Month, because apparently nothing says romance and civil discourse like giving a free beer to any couple that can prove they're straight, which had to make some awkward conversations at the bar, such as, honey, where's the marriage license? I don't know. Call your mother. No way. I'd rather pay full price. That conversation, I'm sure, took place a few times. But just when the country thought the Old State Saloon had reached its peak in Idaho, they said, wait a minute, we got something even better. Hold your beer. We're going to give it away again. Because this week they announced a new promotion. Free beer for anyone who helps ICE deport an illegal immigrant. Yep. 1 month of free beer per deportation. Volume discounts may apply. Now, I'll tell you, that is a sentence you do not hear in most parts of America. But up here, people read that headline and said, wow, I mean, where's Eagle, Idaho? Let's go. The reactions online have been something to behold. Half of the internet is horrified and calling it barbaric, and the other half is saying, hey, free beer is free beer. Then you have DHS. That's the actual Department of Homeland Security. They reposted it, which means somewhere in Washington, D.C., there was a government worker who typed into the official DHS account, free beer for deportations. Check it out. You cannot script this stuff. Naturally, the bar got flooded with reviews. People who have been in Idaho in their life suddenly had very strong opinions about a place they couldn't find on a map. They couldn't find it with a compass. They couldn't find it with a guide. But they found it. The saloon's response? They fired right back, calling the critics losers and complaining the review sites were deleting all the positive comments. Which, if you know Idaho bars, that absolutely sounds like someone yelling across the room between pool shots. Then there was the guy, a local county official, who actually showed up and said, yep, I turned someone in. Where's my free beer? And the bartender just handed it over like this was totally normal. Meanwhile, the rest of us are just sitting here thinking, this is the most Idaho thing since a moose walking into a grocery store. This is awesome. Now listen, whether you think this promotion is bold patriotism or the world's weirdest happy hour special, you gotta admit, it has Idaho written all over it. The wild mix of rugged independence, political fireworks, cowboy logic marketing, and a willingness to say, hey, hold my Coors, I got an idea. You see, Idaho can be a funny place. We don't always agree on everything. Sometimes we don't agree on anything. But we share a certain Montana-adjacent, survival-minded, coffee-strong, winter-is-coming sense of humor. A lot of us read this story and said, boy, that's crazy. And then we paused and said, but I do know at least one guy who'd probably try it. And then we immediately thought of his name. The Old State Saloon is in the spotlight again. And whether you're cracking open beers or cracking open culture wars, they sure do know how to get folks talking. And maybe that's the real Idaho lesson here. We may be divided on politics and immigration and the price of propane, or rather that comet that is headed towards Earth is just a rock or something more interesting. And we're going to talk about that in a future podcast, by the way. But If there's one thing that brings Idahoans together, it's seeing a headline from our own backyard and saying, oh, for crying out loud, what are they doing down there now? And that got me thinking, what speaks louder in North Idaho, coffee or beer? Free coffee is practically a love language up here. You offer someone a free cup at a local coffee stand or coffee restaurant, and suddenly you've got a new best friend, maybe a 15-minute conversation, a debate over whether winter is going to be normal or biblical, and probably some fresh intel about elk sightings during hunting season. Coffee is the daily lifeblood. Morning, noon, or during a late-night plowing run, plowing snow, coffee fuels North Idaho the way diesel fuels the log trucks. But free beer? Now that speaks a different language. Free beer is like saying, I got a story to tell you. Sit down. It's the universal handshake of the Boundary County social economy. And here's the thing, and you know this better than I do, if you walk into your favorite cafe and announce, hey everybody, free coffee, half the county will turn around. The other half will ask what brand or how strong and whether there's Huckleberry Creamer available. But if you walk into the same place and yell, free beer, a few folks will perk up. But coffee? That's when the stampede starts, at least until about 4 p.m. After that, the beer crowd wakes up like bears coming out of hibernation. So, which one speaks louder? Truthfully, coffee wins the morning. Beer wins the evening. But politically, in Idaho? No, neither one. Free ammo beats them all. And you know I'm right. I got some emails to wrap this up. There's a lady who was listening to my podcast and Mark and I talking about the truck driver situation. And she got motivated and she contacted me and she let me know that because of my podcast, she decided to write for the Idaho Transportation Department. And this is what she wrote. She told me that I could read this, so I'm going to read it. Dear sir or madam, considering the very high number of fatal vehicle accidents on Highway 95 between Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry in 2024, I am respectfully requesting the Idaho Transportation Department to consider the following suggestions concerning these tragic accidents. Put up movable, maybe flashing traffic speed signs, 50 or 60 miles per hour. This would help remind and warn drivers of the maximum speed limits. Put up white crosses where individuals and sometimes many family members have been killed. This would inform drivers of the huge cost in human life in the past year. As a personal sidelight, they do that in Montana, and I actually think that's a pretty good idea. Continuing with the letter, make it a law that all vehicles have their headlights on 24/7, 365 days a year, all the time. Visibility of oncoming vehicles is so much better with headlights that are on. Another issue that concerns many of us drivers is the ability of foreign drivers to enter the United States through the Idaho-Canada checkpoints without being given any English or road sign test, which would only need to take about 10 minutes. Out of respect for those drivers and passengers who have lost their lives in the last year, please seriously consider and enact into law factors that will help alleviate the high death toll we saw in 2024. Sincerely. And then she signed it. And she gave me a copy of that, and she mailed it off. And I'm so grateful she did that, and I'm so grateful she was moved by our podcast and motivated to do so. So thank you for sharing that letter. And anybody out there who feels moved to get involved in whatever it is that strikes your interest and creates some passion, get involved. Write a letter. Talk to somebody. And, make a difference. Okay? Now, somebody also sent me an email. How do I find your podcast? You know, it's gotten very simple. Of course, if you're listening to my podcast, I guess you know how to find it. But, you know, some people, they're not very tech savvy. They struggle with finding sites like Spotify or iHeartRadio or iTunes or whatever. And I am on like 15 different podcast platforms. So the easiest way to find my podcast is to Google. Just Google a search. Google Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And all the platforms will pop up with my podcast listed on it. And you can listen to any one of my podcasts accordingly. And finally, somebody wrote in and they said, him and his wife are getting ready to go to Coeur d'Alene on a little trip. And it's about an hour and a half, depending on if you stop for coffee along the way. It could be 2 hours to go to Coeur d'Alene from here. And his wife said she wanted to drive. And he goes, oh, okay. So they get in the car and she's going to drive. And she said, well, while I'm driving, I really want to listen to that Almost Paradise in North Idaho podcast. And he said, what? And she said, yeah, a friend of mine was talking about that. And so they listened to my podcast on the radio. And in fact, they ended up listening to two of them because it took about the 2 hour trip to do it. And that was so nice. I'm so thankful for that. That's wonderful. So thank you everyone for listening, for hitting that play button. And please feel free to email me anytime with suggestions or ideas or maybe some thoughtful considerations of how I could improve this podcast. You can email me at northidahopodcast@gmail.com. That's northidahopodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you real soon. In fact, I have a very, very interesting guest scheduled for early next week. So we'll see you then. Bye, everybody.